We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. We got a special guest in the building. LaRussa, welcome
Man,
back.
Man, my guy.
What's up, my brother?
Last
How time, you feeling?
Last time he came to the block for a hot minute, came and he dropped like a good 40 balls, 60 balls, and then got out of the
60-point game, man. Come on.
He got the new project out. I don't even like to say you got a new project out because I feel like you drop every week.
You know, we got to.
I hate when life's going great.
Yeah.
What's this, number 21?
Number 21.
Why is so much music?
Why not?
Okay, you're right.
Why not?
What makes this one more special than the other 20, though?
I think they're all special in their own way because they're different time stamps in my life and in my journey. This one is very reflective of my current process and just going through the journey of success and navigating what I've been going through. So it's just special because it's in this moment. It's now, right? We'll never get now again.
Now, you also talk so much about being independent and the value of that.
Come on.
And starting your own businesses. We know you have good company, but you do have a deal. What's the deal with Russ?
I have a partnership with Russ, a 50-50 profit split. And that's for one project, which I'll probably deliver at the top of next year. And he's just going to, do what he do best, and I do what I do best and deliver music. But, yeah, it's partnered. And we split.
What made you do that partnership?
This is not the one? I thought this was the album.
No, this is different, right?
Okay,
this is
okay. We got a lot of music.
Yeah, we got a whole lot of it. You said what?
What made you partner up with him?
Man, he was just early in and very, very resourceful and just, he showed a lot of love early and appreciation. And being that he went through this process, he understood what I needed more than the majors. Like, they weren't offering me what I actually needed to get to this level, right? It was too much. It would have been restricting. I dropped 15 albums just from the period of me going viral till now. If I would have signed to a label, I probably would have only got 3 out. And maybe they would have got a bigger push, but maybe not, you know? So it was like they were stifling what I was actually trying to accomplish, and he was very hands-off. Most people, when you sign a deal, you can only release music under that deal. I've been releasing music. Everything I've been releasing since then, I've owned completely, so I'm just still able to do my thing.
But is it lucrative? Because, you know, you drop so much music, right? Do people get a chance to really ride to it and understand it and sit with it and live with it? Or is it it's almost like it happens so much?
If you sell 10 products, you know, versus one during a period of time, of course it's lucrative because I get paid into perpetuity. I own it for the rest of my life. I'd rather be getting paid rent from 10 houses than just one.
So you hear that, real estate man?
Oh, when it comes to real estate, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. You'd rather have one crib paying you or 10 of them. You know, I have 21.
But do people get to digest it enough? Like, you know, because you sit with music. But sometimes music, like when artists have too many tracks on the album, you don't really get to track 26. You know what I mean? Because, you know.
I think it depends on how great the music is. The people who want to digest it does, and the people who don't. You know, my thing is I'm never worried about that. I'm just creating from my heart.
Gotcha.
I'm not really creating with the idea of can you digest this or not. This is just what I'm feeling and I'm sharing it. You could either accept it or not.
It's a different day and age, too, where artists have a lot more freedom because I think there's so many more resources and ways to just reach people directly and not have to go through a whole system to get that done.
Definitely, and it's beautiful. So this last album, we actually sold prior to it releasing to DSPs through a platform called Even, and I sold it direct to my fans. We sold 4,000 albums and did $100K in revenue prior to it even coming out.
Wow.
Most artists would have to wait for DSPs and wait for streaming. To make that amount through streaming, you'd have to stream 25 million times, and streaming pays quarterly, so you wouldn't get that. I wouldn't see what I made until next year, probably, if I had to rely on streaming.
It would
be interesting to see what an NBA YoungBoy would have done.
It's going to be insane.
Because he puts out as much music as you do.
If any of them, Drake, Kendrick, Cole, any of them run this play the way I've ran it, they'd make four times more, and they should. Like, you should buy the art from the artist. There's no reason you should want a LaRussell product but got to go somewhere else to get it. That doesn't make any sense. It's like my shows. We sell our own ticket, and if you want to see LaRussell, you have to talk to LaRussell.
Can we talk about your growth as a human being and as an artist and how that's reflected in your music, even in your name, using your real name now?
Definitely. I mean, completely. I'm just able to speak on things I wasn't able to prior because I didn't have the knowledge or the insight or the information or the emotional intelligence. Like, a lot of people hit me about certain songs, and they like, man, this was exactly how I'm feeling. A lot of us are feeling these things, but we can't express it because we don't have the ability. So, you know, as I've grown as a person, I've just been able to express more, and the music has gotten better just because it's closer to home, it's realer.
That's one of the things I love about you, the fact that you are able to talk about the traumas you've experienced, but more importantly, the healing you've received. When did that journey start? When did you start getting that language? When did you start doing that work on yourself?
Man, I was working at this job called UTC, and I sat across from this girl named Rita. And
UTC, first of all?
It's like an aerospace company.
Okay.
And they do a lot of contracting for military, different stuff. But I was working across from this lady named Rita. She was from Singapore, and like her English was broken, so people didn't used to really talk to her much, but I used to chop it up with her. And one day she gave me this book called The Freedom Simplified. It was a short read, but that shit changed my life. It was like it's kind of like Buddhist text, just like life principles. And that was the first time I read in a long time. I used to be like, I'm not reading, because in high school I always had to read, you know, stuff based on school that wasn't interesting. But that just shook me up. I went on Amazon and ended up buying hella books after that, and it just started slowly growing. I start getting around people who had similar thoughts, and the homies start pouring into me, and just life through experience, just naturally growing and learning more.
Oh, so you never went to therapy or anything like that?
I just recently started going to therapy, and I don't know if it's for me, and I don't know if I'm getting, I feel like I had an expectation going into it, and you know, that always kind of deviates the process a bit, because you may not get what you expect, so I'm not sure how it is for me, but I started going recently.
All right.
What made you go?
Just wanting to kind of work through some of the emotions I've been dealing with, and just kind of like, No, some days you wake up and you tired of doing trash stuff or like being a certain way for that moment. You feel me? And then the moments is like, I'm gonna go to therapy, right? And then you start, and then you know through that process, you either love it or you don't.
Your title of the new project, man, it sticks out to me just because I feel like self-sabotage is at an all-time high. Definitely. I hate when life's going great.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I had to talk through with my therapist. Like, you know, when things are going good, embrace it.
Right.
Don't think that, you know, the other shoe is about to drop or something bad is about to happen. Just embrace it. Is that what that title signifies?
Definitely. That's exactly what it is. You know, I've struggled throughout this journey to stay on a high. And not that you're supposed to stay on a high. You know, you're supposed to kind of go up and down and stay kind of neutral. But I'm usually extreme. I'm very high or I'm very low. And that title is very reflective of just that process, going through the changes that comes with success and just all the anxiety and all the pressures that come with it as well.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work for you, too, the way that you operate.
It's a lot.
It's more than the average person, but people feel like they can really connect with you. I saw you did a pop-up show in Brooklyn, and they said you were greeting everybody.
Yeah, of course. I'm in the line, man. We sold out 500 tickets in 8 hours.
Wow.
I was up the night before and was like, man, I want to do a pop-up show. And
On your own platform, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I sold the tickets to a platform I own equity in. It's called What's TBA, Black-Owned Tech. And, yeah, I was like, I want to do a pop-up. And originally, we thought it was going to be like 50 to 100 people, just something light. And we ended up doing over 500 tickets.
That's dope. And I see that you actually do research to see where the demand is so you know where you're going to go next because you can see where people are huge LaRussell fans. So you're like, it makes sense to go here because then we'll sell those tickets.
Right. And our base is really tapped in. Like, you know, I'm able to go to a city and say, hey, I'm here and get a whole bunch of, you know, like we have a high engagement rate.
And you do the pay what you want deal, right? Did you do that for Brooklyn?
These shows are offer based. So we do proud to pay shows where you could pay absolutely anything. And sometimes like at home, we'll do that. Like right now we're doing a cafe. You can pay whatever.
Word to Nipsey.
But these shows are offer based. So you go through the site and you make an offer on what that ticket is worth to you. And we either accept or decline the offer.
Is that lucrative? Because I see you do that. You do that with your mom's cafe. You do that with the merchandise. Is that lucrative?
Very.
Okay.
Because you're like, so for the backyard shows, across a span of 4 backyard shows, we probably made about.
People don't know what the backyard shows, just explain to them what that is.
Yeah, so I built a residency in my backyard so we don't have to deal with the politics of the venues. And we did 4 really big shows in the summer.
So
like,
your house.
Everybody was coming out. This is my crib, my childhood home. And across the 4 shows, we generated about $75,000.
Wow.
And it's because
off the pergola.
Only 200 people can come to each show. So off 800 people, right? And it's because when you do offer-based, you never know what you're worth to someone else, right? Mm-hmm. If I change your life through music, or if you just really love LaRussell, you're going to shoot me a little bit more. You know, a lot of artists my size, they go do shows, and their ticket price probably like $25, $15. My last show, the average ticket price was $75, and that's because we allow the people to choose what that experience is worth. But we also provide so much more. I'm at the front door doing wristbands. After the show, you could actually talk to me at the crib. My pops is cooking. My mom's here. So it's a different experience.
Wait, you're putting the wristbands on people?
Man, I'm wristbanding people. I'm doing everything. I'm kissing babies, man. Come on.
Are you putting them on tight so they can't slide it off and pass it to somebody else?
But, man, my fans don't even do that. We don't even have to worry about it. We built great energy. They fuck with me.
You don't feel a way with people knowing where you live?
Nah, because I've lived there my whole life. People already
know where I
live. It's just more people now. They already know. But I mean, what we've built is like a safekeep in the hood. Like everybody looks out for it. Mm-hmm. It's like, nah, this is ours. You feel me? So we don't have to deal with that.
Have you had anybody like just pop up when it's not a show? Like, I want to meet LaRussell.
Has to be all the time.
Yeah, yeah. A couple have. And you know, that's nothing but a trip outside. And hey, don't you come around here again.
Yeah.
But I'm going to show you that love. We're going to embrace you.
Let me tell you something, man. I love LaRussell, man. I love him for a bunch of different reasons. Number one, he's a dope lyricist, very intelligent young man. But also, it's not about what you say yes to, it's about what you say no to.
Come on.
I saw you say no to some really no need to say no names, but talk to some really incredible shit earlier I know would make the average young man be like, oh, I'm absolutely doing it. And I remember you hit me like, nah, this ain't right.
It wasn't right.
And I was like, all right. You know what I mean?
It don't be right. It don't be right. And that's the thing. Like, when you don't say no, later on you're going to feel it no matter what. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to sit with it. And I'm somebody, it'll bother me. It's going to absolutely bother me. So those no's early really saved me. Because like I said, if I would have took them early deals, I would have been hindered. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been as big as I am now.
How long ago was that? Was that a year? Has it been a year?
It's been about a year, roughly. Wow. Yeah, it's been 1 year. You know, we started, it was like 3,000 followers at that point to now almost over 500K. So it's been 1 year.
I remember when Hovland first hit me about you, he sent me the freestyle that Wallo posted.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a chance to listen to it because I was traveling. And then Hov don't ever do this. He texted me back like, you ain't listen to that freestyle, bro.
Right, clearly.
Because he knew that if I heard it, I'd be on it. And I'm like, God damn, who is this?
Come on.
And it was you.
Come on.
And I saw you say on Power 106 that you were willing to die to try to get as big as Drake independently.
Yeah.
Do you think that's possible?
I think it's very possible, especially now. Like, early when I was thinking it, I was, we used to go on label meetings, and I used to ask them, do you think it's possible to be as big as Drake as an indie? And we used to get a lot of doubt and like, I don't know, you'd have to go through through this system. And it's like, if I got here independently, I can only get bigger, you know? I know what I did to get here, so if I do it times 10, that means I'm going to get a 10 times multiple on my growth. If I do that times 100, I'm going to get 100 times multiple. So, yeah, I definitely believe so. I mean, I'm here, mm-hmm. and I'm completely independent, you feel mm-hmm. me, on this platform. Most of the people who come on here have a label behind them. It's part mm-hmm. of their PR rollout, their press, but we don't have a label behind us.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the stresses that you deal with, though? Like I said, it is a whole lot more work when you do run things independently, but I understand the financial payout is greater, but what are some of the stresses?
Life. Just not having adequate time to cater to everyone and everything. Dealing with the emotional trauma that kind of comes with the changes that come with success, like... just the change of dynamic in relationships, not being able to do certain things. Like, I usually take my daughter to school and pick her up. So, like, when I'm out and gone, I don't get to do that and get to cultivate that situation. And just, it's really the time mm-hmm. spot that stresses me most. And just whenever I do something that's, like, against my soul, or I feel like I'm not being the greatest human, or I didn't act in my best interest of a situation.
Could you see yourself doing a more long-term situation, a deal, a partnership?
Yeah, definitely. But I think the way that we structure it would be kind of different than labels do deals. So they like to do things in like 4 albums or 5 albums versus I'm somewhere where it's like, if we do long-term, it's like, okay, I'll release music with you for a year or so and we'll split back in. But it just has to be restructured a different way, because how they do it now doesn't make sense. Like, one offer, I got offered a 360 for like 10% of me, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't offer me a percentage of the company, which is crazy. It's like, why would you want a percentage of mine without giving me a percentage of yours? People want to sign to, you know, the Roc Nations and the Def Jams because of the artists that was there prior. But mm-hmm. they don't have equity in those companies. Mm-hmm. I'm only going to go sign a Roc Nation because Cole was there, Rihanna was there, Ye was there, but you're not going to give them equity for bringing me here, right? So TDE, everyone wants to be there because Kendrick was there, but he may not have equity in TDE. So it's like they're offering us these things that just doesn't fully make sense.
But instead of the equity, wouldn't they be investing in you? Wouldn't they be giving you probably money, resources, access to things that you
Man,
probably couldn't
get on your own? Man, that's a one-time loan for a lifetime of equity on their end.
Mm.
$250,000 right now for a lifetime of equity ain't no fuck. That's nothing.
But you know,
they're getting paid for the rest of their life.
But a label would say that you know, when they make an investment, but I mean, you're different, but when they make an investment into an artist, you know, they might sign 100 artists, 90 of them break out. 90 of them we never hear about.
Whose fault is that? What that got to do with me? My deal ain't got... You made bad decisions. Nigga, don't put that on me. That ain't got nothing to do with my deal. You feel me? Like, nah, that's not real. And it's like, bro, we make the product. Mm-hmm. I don't really care what you doing. Like, you selling my shit. What you selling. Everything mm-hmm. that you making money off of is something that I made. How am I getting the lesser end of it?
So what would be a fair deal to you?
I think 50-50 profit shares are fair with the proper amount of equity to establish what you're trying to create. I think that I also don't have a problem with people getting paid into perpetuity off of houses they help build. Mm-hmm. Right. But if you come into a system that's already fully established, you should be assistive. You shouldn't True. Be taking over. Mm-hmm. We created True. This. I already got this motion. It's different when you help build someone from the ground. But if you didn't help build a house from the ground, why would you? You know, like they're just some things that don't make any sense.
I'm wondering if this, in the future, it's going to be like more licensing deals that labels do with artists.
Yeah. And
when they're established, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's starting to happen now. You're seeing a lot of that. Like people are licensing the music, and that's because they understand. Like, man, we're getting to the point now where we're realizing the labels really. It's not much that they're offering when you're somebody who has something going already beyond capital. It's not much they can really do for you.
Mm-hmm. No, because you get the visibility, you get the eyes, you know. It's not too many platforms you can't get on. I've seen you do everybody, just about, you know right? what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I get it.
And you also practice what you preach with your business. So I saw you've been, for a while now, filming videos with artists as well, and you don't charge them, right?
Never.
You guys just do 50-50 on the back end.
Not even 50-50. Sometimes it's less than that. Like, mm-hmm. I split the back end however makes sense to accommodate what we're getting done. So, like, especially with us, we don't walk away with 50 because we have a whole team that help. So some of us are only getting 8 to 10%. Then, yeah, the artists get the greater half of it because they created the product. But, yeah, we don't charge anyone. We just split the back end.
No, he's really about it. He's tried to give me splits. I'm like, no, bro. Like, I don't do that. Like, why?
I'm like, see, but
first of all, that's illegal.
To.
But and second, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't take that from you anyway.
Which is crazy. Why is it illegal?
Because it would sway what DJs play or what personalities talk about. Like, I like to keep my stuff organic. Like, if I'm talking about you, it's because I actually genuinely enjoy you. You know what I'm saying? You can't pay for my opinion on something.
Right. But if you talked about someone and showed them love and then they give you equity after, how does that sway you, right?
Yeah.
They can't sway you because you already did the deed. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And I feel like you should own equity in things that you help build. Like, you posted me so many times that my platform grew. Why wouldn't you have equity in it?
Now, I remember you were striving towards veganism.
Yeah.
For a period of time. Did you get there yet?
I think I lasted a good 2-3 months and then I start missing the good things in life. Nah, but I did pretty well. You know, black bean patties really helped me get through that. It was rough. I didn't have all the proper knowledge, so I went into it amateurish, which led to me just kind of eating the same as I was already eating, just
without the meat.
Exactly.
So what made you even want to do that?
What was that damn doc? The VL.
It was that doc, man,
it was, man right? It was, like, it
I know
was
you're talking
one.
About. Hey, what was the name of that shit?
It did it to me. It did it to me. The conspiracy or something. Like, it was
I know
one
exactly
of those.
What you're talking about.
Man, it did it to me. I was like,
that
I
was
need to change my
was
life.
Like, what's me? What was the name of that doc?
Yeah.
So, did it make you feel any different during that period of time?
Things was a blur down that period of time. life was life.
You
was during that period of time, right?
I want to go back to the
name. What the Health.
What the Health. That was the name
what
of it.
The
what the Health. I want to go back to the name of the album. I Hate When Life's Going Great.
Yeah.
You know, people assume that that's what you live for, when life is going great. But
right.
you say you hate it.
Right.
What moment made you hate life being great?
Not one specific moment, but like a culmination of things, like I say, just having to seeing your relationships change, and some relationships where you once like this and now you start to kind of grow apart. That's really the most tedious part for me, because I've started this with a large group of people, but as you kind of progress and scale, everyone can't go to the top of the mountain, and it's like you start to realize that everyone wasn't climbing, some people was on your back, right? And you just can't make it up that way, because it's not the same journey. So just really, as you go and progress, that's the biggest part for me, is having those relationship dynamics change, and just, like I say, having to go through the different emotions that comes with that.
Mm-hmm. Who in your family is a pastor, man? Because you got a level of spirituality about you that I can tell is just rooted in you. Somebody's in the church or somebody's a pastor somewhere.
I'm not sure, man. It's a lot of Sad Guru. I be watching a whole lot of Sad Guru and a whole lot of reading. So when I first got back into reading, I would only read books that was by Indian mystics. So mm-hmm. I was getting a lot of, like, Eastern wisdom versus mm-hmm. ours. And it's just really changed mm-hmm. the way I view life and see the world and the way that I navigate it.
Mm-hmm. How does it change the artist that you used to like? Because I know you referenced that too, that we're your heroes, but now you're like, I can't really relate to that type of
right.
rhetoric anymore.
Man, it changes it a lot, but it also makes me just more receptive to how human everyone is. Like, you know, it's really great to see your heroes without their cape. So you don't, you know, when they stop being super, you're not let down or disappointed because you realize, oh, that's just a regular nigga, you feel me? But when you're not looking at it like that, you see them as this big thing and you give them some sense of hierarchy, and that could really just destroy everything you once felt for them. So mm-hmm. I just no longer put people on that pedestal.
And it makes you realize that the success is probably more attainable than you ever thought it was.
Oh, man, very much so. I don't feel like there's anything I can't do. Mm-hmm. If it just comes down to work, there's nothing I can't do. And mm-hmm. that's why now we feel it's like, you know, we don't need a label. I do feel like I could become as big as Drake as an indie because I know it's just work. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I'm willing to do.
And you've been getting calls from a lot of the big dogs, right?
All of them.
Yeah.
I want to know just, you know, back to your childhood crib. When you called your moms and said, Mom, I want to do a concert in the backyard, how was that conversation? And how did she reply?
Exceptional. I said, hey, nigga, we about to build a pergola in the back.
And she grabbed the hammer.
She said, what's a pergola? I said, you about to see. And next thing you know, we built it up. You know, it was mm-hmm. My mom is just the realest, coolest mm-hmm. in the world on earth. You know, it's like whatever we say we gonna do, that's what we doing. She ain't got no issue with it.
That's dope.
And y'all put out the Tales from the Town project.
Yeah.
We're on that G-Eazy.
That was with the People's Project, yeah.
Okay, what's it called?
The People's Project. So they're a group in Oakland that really helps the community, really mm-hmm. serves out there. Like, they feed the community, they give clothes, hygiene, and they've been building for a long time, and they just tapped me in to be a part of that project. So it was a really dope community thing. They got a lot of the Bay on there.
Who's on the G-Eazy?
Guap Dad, All Black, yeah. Offset Jim. It's a heavy Bay lineup.
How do you become such a lyricist coming from the Bay? Not like, you know, the guys from the Bay weren't snapping, but your sound is different than a lot of them.
Man, when I was growing up, my pops played a lot of Hov and a lot of Nas. Like, I grew up on a traditional bass last, but also grew up on just a range of music. Mm-hmm. And when I got to the age where I started being able to consume music on my own, I was heavy on the Kanye's and the 50 Cent's, mm-hmm. and then I finally got into Hov and you know, Drake, Wayne. So I didn't really, all of my influences was a lot of lyrical, you know, heavy lyricists.
Mm-hmm. And you wear Crocs like brothers in Brooklyn wear.
Yeah,
Tim's,
they
bro.
On right now. I come see. On. Yeah.
When did that start?
Probably like 2018. I don't even remember how I got to the Crocs. I think my daughter's sister had bought me some, like the first pair. She had some, and I was like, man, let me try them. And I put my foot in them things.
So comfortable.
Comfortable.
Ever since.
You should do something with or make your own Crocs.
See, I was thinking about that, but I really love Crocs. So hopefully they just tap in.
Because, you know, they do a lot of the little things that jewelry and stuff, not jewelry, but whatever that you could put on, and those do really well,
so
too.
So we made our own. We actually have some. Yep.
You got Croc buttons?
We got jibbies, yep.
You know what's so crazy? Like, I love the Yeezy slides, and I always say I hope the Yeezy slides don't become a symbol of hate. Hmm. And every time I say that, somebody be like, buy Crocs, wear the Crocs.
Right.
I'm like, word? I don't know.
Now, Crocs is cool, and then they got the little piece on the back. So if you got to move, if you got kids, you got to move, you just bloop, put the thing on the back, and you're good.
You're out of there.
When you think about that, though, since you bought
it,
can you separate a person from the music that you love or even from the brand that you love? Like, maybe somebody is like, I still love the Yeezys. I'm going to still wear my Yeezys. Or are you like, you know, this person did this. I don't mess with them anymore, so therefore none of their products or music.
It depends on to the degree of which they've done. because I feel like throughout life we have to separate product from people. A lot of these people are kind of sick. We just don't know the people behind the product.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have the same, like, we don't know who owns a lot of radio. And I can probably tell you, if you do, you know, right. we never know how them people, it's a lot going on there. You feel? But yet we still support it and we consume it. So I think it just depends on the degree of what they've done. I'm able to separate the art until it's like, you're a little extra sick and I just can't support it because I'm putting money in your pocket and I'm generating revenue for you to continue doing what you're doing.
You know, what's interesting to me, and I want to discuss this too, how you look at women, right? And your growth and maturity in that respect and taking accountability for things, but also saying, I'm not using the word bitch anymore to refer to my girl. Because a lot of people do be right. like, yeah, that's my bitch. It's supposed to be a compliment. And the intention is not supposed to be bad, but words do matter. So can you discuss your growth in that area?
a journey that I'm still traveling. I haven't been the best towards women like previously just throughout my journey and sometimes even now. But I think that's something that's self-reflective. I don't think men can respect women until they respect themselves.
Wow.
And a lot of men can't respect themselves because they don't know how. They've never been respected throughout their journey in life and through their childhood. They've never been nurtured or nourished or just poured into. So it's very, very difficult for you to go pour into someone else and you don't even know what that's like.
That's real. I mean, healed people, right? Like, you know, like if you can, the people always talk about you projecting hurt, you can project healing as well.
Definitely. Yeah.
You opened up your mom's cafe, and that cafe is paid with
no,
you.
No, not my mom's. It's called Momo's.
Yeah, oh, it's called Momo's. I thought that was your hilarious. Mom's cafe.
Nah.
Oh, okay, but it's a pay what you want cafe.
Yeah,
until
so we just made it proud to pay to the end of the year, and I just covered the bills for the next 3 months so everyone can just go eat.
Where is it?
It's in Vallejo.
Was it a place that was already there?
Yeah, it's been there for years.
Mm-hmm. It's your favorite restaurant?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite spots to go to. And the owner there is a big fan of the platform. And he just, man, I tossed him an idea earlier this year to do like a one-day brunch, right? And a bunch of people came out, paid what they wanted. So this time, we're just in a grander position. And it's like, let's make sure people can eat. At the very least, we just want to make sure everybody can eat. You shouldn't have to go through the day hungry.
Oh, I thought you bought the place.
Next year we're actually going to be going into partnership, so I just bought it out.
We know that, yeah. We know you love a partnership.
Yeah, I love a partnership. Come on.
At what point do you think you'll love when life's going great?
I think that's something that could happen any day once the work is done internally. Because life is actually exceptional right now. It's just some days I can't fully accept it because I'm still working through things that I've done or, you know, still trying to get past things that I feel emotionally about the past. But once that's through, I think I'll really be able to enjoy it. And I'm currently on that journey of just working through all that now.
I bet you it's helping you to appreciate the money more. Because in Famous, you said, you know, money can't make you rich.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
Money cannot make you rich. And, yeah, man, I'm very appreciative because the money is just a tool, you know? Like, it allows me to do a lot of things that I wasn't able to do. Like, I can feed the community for the next 3 months now, you know? So money to me is just a tool. I don't really splurge or get excited about. I'm not impressed by most things, so I'm really able to utilize this money to truly help and cultivate my team and have my homies with me and change my family's life.
What was the significance of dropping on your birthday?
Man, universal alignment. I don't know. It just felt right. Mm-hmm. It just felt like the time, you know. On my birthday, I always try to do something. Somehow, I always end up giving a gift, you know, instead of getting one. And it just felt like universal alignment. It was the right time. I feel like I'm just coming of age, and life is just kind of traveling right now. So everything just kind of aligned for it to happen.
And I'm still waiting on the LaRussell symbol. Project.
Come on.
When is that coming?
Come on. I don't even know. You know, me and Simba just be kicking it.
Mm-hmm.
We're never in a studio creating music. We just be hanging out. Like, I'm somebody where all of my artist homies, I'm always just like, pull up, let's ride bikes, or we just rehearsing and chilling. It's never really on music. I don't really collaborate much. I like to just be in my space when I create and make music. Mm-hmm. And if I feel inclined, I send stuff sometimes. But it's never really about music to me. Music is just an extension of who I am and what I do.
Are there any producers you want to work with?
I love ATL Jacob shit as of recent. But I don't really have any too many specifics. Mm-hmm. I just, I love to work with the people who want to work with me. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, you know we can't let you leave without hearing some bars.
Come on.
We got to hear some bars.
Come on.
You need a beat? You want acapella? What you want to do?
Let me get a beat. Yeah, we got to send one in. Come on.
You got a beat?
Yeah,
hit your
course.
Beat. Yeah, let's
come
do
on.
That.
Tieta, can you send
Oh,
JSX?
She ready. Like, she, yeah. like, I, she like, I know this
she
rapping
got the
ass
phone,
dude.
She ready like,
yeah. Vallejo.
There we go.
We here again. NY. Breakfast Club is not the same. A year later, toe. JSX check-ins, we don't do TSA. Still got shoebox money, we don't do BFA. We don't do net 30s, unless it's biz credit. Billion evaluation, that's where the biz headed. I heard the crown heavy, lucky I'm big-headed. Lucky I'm big-hearted, I would've crushed niggas. Offer me breadcrumbs, offer me tea with it. They say it's just business, I don't agree with it. We on the Masters now, we on the pub too. We on the parking lot, we bought the club too. Integrated vertically, y'all niggas blew it. Came out the dirt, that mean we grew it. This ain't a prophecy, nigga, we knew it. Huh? Hey, witnessing God work, witnessing black gold. Knew it was less travel, still took the back road. We spent the own bread, we spent the own loot. Why would I outsource, hire my own crew? I'm getting better at it, 100K deals, still dressed like I never had it. Renovations is expensive, flipped it 5 times and I still got my Crocs on. My mama got a podcast, I'm finna put my pops on. Give me 2 years, I'm hanging the jersey up. I'm the new AI, they playing with their jersey tuck. Please do not compare me to them. I am he, I am him. God body, I got scars on my limbs. I got mud on my Crocs. I got blood on my hands. I'm revered worldwide. I get love when I land. You can play it, you can plan. Y'all can never understand. I chop my arm off before I take these niggas' hand. And end up like Mufasa trying to trust these lying niggas. JSX check-ins, we don't do TSA. Still got shoebox money, we don't do BFA. We don't do net 30s, unless it's biz credit. Billion evaluation, that's where the biz headed. I heard the crown heavy, lucky I'm big-headed. Lucky I'm big-hearted, I would've crushed niggas. Offer me breadcrumbs, offer me tea with it. They say it's just business, I don't agree with it. Huh?
La Russa.
Yeah!
La Russa.
What we doing?
I want to ask LaRussa one more thing. Because you said something in that rap that made me think of it. And I saw Drake say this the other day. And
stop the beat.
I saw Drake say this the other day, and Drake was like, you know, people say things like, it's business, never personal. But no, it's always personal.
It's always personal. Mm-hmm. They say it's just business. I don't agree with it. The way you do business is a reflection of your being. Absolutely. I don't do bad business because I'm not that type of nigga. If you're able to fuck somebody over and do bad business, that's because of who you are. It wouldn't sit well with you if you wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Word.
Well, LaRussa, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you.
Way to follow you, LaRussa. Tell them where to follow you.
Yeah, I'm at LaRussa on everything. Got good company. It's not the same.
Hey. It's the Breakfast Club, LaRussa.
Yeah.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place.
Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.